complained Yertle. So he lifted up his hand and gave a command, and he ordered 9 turtles in the pond to stand on each other's backs so they could become his new entire throne. And he climbed up on the backs of the turtles, and he had a wonderful view. He was not satisfied. "Turtles, turtles, we need more turtles," he called from his lofty throne. Yertle swelled with pride and feelings of importance as turtles from all over the pond came to climb up on the stack of the turtles which made up Yertle's throne. At the bottom of the stack was a plain and ordinary turtle named Mac. You all know this story? Wow. Okay, so he was struggling under the weight of all the turtles until finally he decided that he had taken enough. And that plain little turtle named Mac did a very plain little thing. He burped. And his burp shook the throne, and Yertle fell right into the mud. And now the great Yertle was king of the mud. Okay, that's it. Okay, so when we think too highly of ourselves, we often wind up taking a great fall. So in the gospel reading today, Jesus tells a story about a man who thought he was better than everyone else. And the prayers of the Pharisee are juxtaposed against the humble prayer of an outcast and a sinner, the tax collector. Both are sincere. One keeps religious traditions scrupulously, or thought he did. And the other was in a profession that engaged in extortion and dishonesty. Jesus is showing the way to God by contrasting the attitudes and actions of a repentant outsider with those of a religious leader who should have known better. The despised tax collector had sold himself to the Roman captors for the privilege of collecting taxes from his own people. The super religious leader, known for his meticulous observance of temple practices, but he got the relationship with God all wrong. His desire was to make it all about him and thank God because he was not like other people. In other words, it was all about his achievement to keep himself above other human beings and their shortcomings. And this was his boast to God. Contrast that with the tax collector who knew he had nothing to boast about. He had no achievements. He knew he was in trouble. He knew he was lost. But the tax collector standing afar off would not even look up to heaven, but beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I can't put one foot in front of the other without your grace and mercy. Please cut me some spiritual slack, Lord." Like us, he wanted to be found. But in order to be found, you have to recognize you're lost. I think it's when we finally say, "Lord, I'm a mess. Try as I might. I can do nothing on my own. I need your help every waking hour, every minute, every second of the day. I am lost without your constant grace and mercy." And that should be our prayer. Like the tax collector, our daily prayer might need to be, "Lord, maker of heaven and earth, save me from pretentiousness and self-deception." The other part of the parable that struck me, and which I think really speaks to our time and current culture, is the whole notion of being different from one another. And that somehow that's a bad thing. We are different in many ways, of course. It's not hard to name them: gender, skin color, family of origin, religious denomination. Here's the thing. In the realm of the spirit, there are no differences. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. And I love this. God doesn't play favorites. Thank you, Lord, for not playing favorites. If we look throughout the Gospel of John, for instance, we find one. Jesus' favorite word is meno, M-E-N-O, often translated as remain, stay, or abide. It speaks to a profound and intimate relationship with the Lord. And Jesus describes this as how he is in the Father, is in him, and likewise, when we remain in Christ and the Son is in us and we are in the Father. And he goes further in John 17, 21, when he prays that we will all be one just as Jesus is one with the Father. For Christians, becoming one with each other is an outgrowth of the union we have with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Disciples of Christ represent him. So our conduct and relationships with each other reflect the credibility of Christ in the world. We say we're Christians, be careful with that one. When there is disunity, intolerance, infighting, our testimony to the world is not very convincing. It is a huge responsibility to call ourselves Christians, ambassadors of Christ, as Paul calls it. And it can be difficult to maintain this oneness with the Lord and each other in days of political rhetoric. Some places in the world where the predominant narrative of difference is being used to drive people apart. It is a dangerous, and in ours and many other spiritual traditions, it is not the truth. It is a lie. God does not see the differences. Doesn't see them. Couldn't care less. God sees each of us as unique. A masterpiece, and I've said this before, we are Leonardo da Vinci's. And there's nothing we have done, are doing, or will do that God will not love and care for us. Now that we're Leonardo da Vinci's, the problem is there's kind of grit on top of us. You ever notice that? So we have to kind of take that off slowly. We may look different, but every person has the same need to be whole, to have a sense of completeness. Every person on this planet, every soul. What did I read the other day? If we start looking at people as souls, how different they would look to us. Each person needs love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and graciousness and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit, the breath of God given to you and I, and which trumps any superficial differences we may have. We are God created, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled creations, and when we look at one another, it is not our differences that matter, that most dominate. It is what we have in common, our humanity. When we lose sight of our humanity, our oneness with every person on this planet, then we become fearful and apprehensive. Paul writes in 2 Timothy, he writes this to 2 Timothy, who was probably 18 years old and had a stomach problem. He writes, "We have not been given a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-control." 2 Timothy 1:7. That is our spiritual birthright. Something came over Facebook the other day when I was reflecting on the reading from Gospel. And it begins with the ancient Sanskrit greeting, namaste, which means I behold the divine in you. But it is followed by my soul recognizes your soul. I honor your light, your love, your beauty, your truth, and the kindness within you. Because it is also within me. In sharing these things, there is no distance and no difference between us. We are the same. We are one. Let us pray. We pray, Lord, for your church, which is one in the greatness of your love, but divided by the littleness of our own. May we be less occupied with things that divide us and more with those we hold in common and the love that enfolds us all. Help us to be raised from the one sun, branches of a single tree, and streams flowing from one river. May we remain united to you and to each other, because you are our common source of life. And we send your light and pour forth your flowing streams over all the earth, drawing our inspiration and joy from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.